the Postal Service's financial situation will continue to deteriorate and will put its ability to carry out its role in jeopardy.
Welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm Matt Oldham. GAO placed the U.S. Postal Service on its high-risk list in 2009. And since then, USPS's financial viability has only worsened. With me to talk about a GAO report on the challenges facing the mail service and how they could get to a more sustainable business model is Lori Rectanis, a physical infrastructure director. Thank you for joining me, Lori.
Thank you, Matt.
So what are some of the factors that are causing USPS to lose money?
You know, Matt, everybody knows the Postal Service. You know, it's been around for 200 years, and it's part of the fabric of our society. But what many people don't know is that the Postal Service is really a unique organization. Although it's technically a part of the federal government, it has many requirements that you would associate with a private business. And one of those is that it has to be what we call self-financing. So what that means is the Postal Service doesn't formally get any tax dollars, and it must pay for its operations with the revenue it gets to deliver mail and packages. But here's the rub. You know, last year it cost the Postal Service almost $80 billion to deliver the mail 6 days a week to over 150 million addresses, but it only received $71 billion to do that. So this deficit sort of situation is not new. It's been happening for a decade. And this is largely because the Postal Service, it can't really change delivery requirements or labor conditions very much. So its costs are growing. At the same time, its primary money makers, like letters and bills, have been steadily declining as people have transitioned to electronic correspondence. I mean, think about it. How many cards and letters do you have in your mailbox today versus, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Right.
So it's a simple math problem. You know, your revenue is not growing as fast as costs. You know, that's what they're looking at in terms of continually losing money.
So it sounds like they're dealing with some issues on multiple fronts. What have they been doing about them?
Well, in the absence of fundamental action to address this problem at a global level, the Postal Service has been trying to do a lot of things to either curb cost growth or raise revenue where they can. So the big area for them is costs. You know, employee costs and compensation are about 80% of their costs. And so one of the major things that they've done over the past several years is they've started to use this new type of worker. They call it a non-career worker. It gives them a lot of hiring and firing flexibility. They can bring people on when they need them for volume increases, but then get rid of them easier when the volume goes down. They're also paying new people less than what they've paid people in the past. So these two options have, in fact, helped them avoid billions of dollars in costs over the last decade. In terms of revenue, which is the other piece of that puzzle, a lot of what they're trying to do is literally keep mail in the mail stream. You may have seen in your mailbox in the last couple years flashy advertisements or color or different and new types of advertising. The Postal Service has been working with these advertisers on these sorts of things, and the hope is that if advertisers see that you're paying attention to those things in your mailbox and you use those to buy their services, then they'll keep sending mail in your mailbox as opposed to reverting to email and Facebook and other ways that advertisers use to get your attention. But, you know, these things are just not enough to compensate for the many legal and political issues that stop the Postal Service from addressing its financial problems.
So the Postal Service has been running with a budget deficit for a while now, and the numbers of people using mail have been dropping. To address those issues, USPS has been making some workforce changes. We're looking at new areas to focus for revenue. Lori, what else could they do to get to a more sustainable path?
You know, this is a case where the fundamental answer really lies outside of the Postal Service itself. As again, I started like, you know, they are a part of our fabric. They're sort of this intrinsic part of our country. So it's really up to us as a country. We have to decide what we want from the Postal Service and how we want to pay for it. I think what's ironic is that even though things are bad now, many stakeholders in this environment are concerned about whether changing things will be better or worse. You know, some of the questions that they ask are like, well, how would any changes affect what I pay for mail? would we be okay if we only got mail 4 days a week or 5 days a week? If, in fact, we wanted to make up this financial shortfall, who would do that? Would that be taxes? How would we do that? And then the other question is, the Postal Service is really a critical part of the delivery and logistics industry, not just domestically, but internationally. Mm-hmm. And so some people are concerned, well, if you start changing how the Postal Service operates, what does that do to that larger industry? And so because we can't agree on the answers, or we don't know the answers to these questions, we haven't been able to come up with a solution to actually get the Postal Service on a more sustainable path.
I've got one more question for you, and that's, what's the bottom line here?
This is a case of where Congress has to use its leadership authority to make some really tough decisions. We are never going to get all the stakeholders who have some relationship to the mail and to the Postal Service to agree. And it's really up to Congress to decide, you know, what is the best for the country. And as we identified in our report, there's really three key decisions they need to make to start this process. The first one has to be, what is the needed level of services we want in the postal area, given what we know about how we communicate and do business and how that's going to change in the future? The second decision is to really identify whether, given this level of services that we need, is it still important for this organization called the Postal Service to be self-financing? And here's the hard part. If it is, then the Postal Service must have the flexibility and accountability to make the changes for that to happen. But if we're not open to that, then we have to make the decision to support them in some other way. And that's when you hear people talking about giving them taxpayer support or relieving them of some of their debt. And as you call, the other thing I talked about is they have a very unique structure. The idea was, if you made them part government, part business, maybe we get the best of both worlds. I think, unfortunately, what we're looking at now is almost the worst of both worlds. And so the third decision really has to do with the structure. Because structure is so critical to an organization's success, after we figure out the services and how we want to pay for them, Congress needs to identify what's the best structure to carry out these new requirements. You know, these are really tough decisions, and there's a reason that we haven't been able to figure this out. A lot of people are involved here, a lot of jobs, a lot of money. Like as I said, a huge delivery and logistics industry, and success means a continued long-term sustained focus. But in the absence of that, the Postal Service's financial situation will continue to deteriorate and will put its ability to carry out its role in jeopardy. And that's not good for the Postal Service, those who use the Postal Service, or the country. So something really needs to be done.
Lori Rectanis was talking about a GAO report on how to get USPS to a more sustainable business model. Thank you for your time, Lori.
Thank you so much, Matt.
And thank you for listening to the Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you leave a rating and review to let others know about the work we're doing. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.